I have not followed your will for me. I have sinned. I thank you deeply that Christ Jesus died for my sins, that I might be forgiven and set free. By your grace, I repent and turn from my sin, and by your grace, I accept your forgiveness. By your grace, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, enable me to live a faithful life in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. If today was a day of decision, will you let me know so I can rejoice with you and share with you next steps in Christian discipleship? You can email me at missioncharlottesville@gmail.com. I promise you, I will respond to your email. Thanks for listening today, and join with me next Sunday at 9 o'clock a.m. for another message from the pulpit of Mission Charlottesville. God bless you today and always.
Your CBS 19 Weather Authority forecast for your Mother's Day. A few early morning showers, but otherwise partly to mostly cloudy. Highs around 70 degrees. Tonight, a few showers are possible overnight. Lows in the lower 50s. And Monday, a few morning showers are possible. Otherwise partly sunny, but then a chance for some afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the middle 70s. I'm CBS 19 meteorologist Tana Scholl on Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHB.
Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. We're excited to always share what God is up to in Central Virginia. We're going to share some of God's word with you on this program. This show is intended to be your spiritual cup of coffee. We like to share faith journeys and testimonies and talk about the great things that God is doing because he's on the move in Charlottesville. We like to start the program with a scripture read. This one is short and sweet, but oh so beautiful. It comes from the Gospel of John. And it is John chapter 15, which my theologian friends will tell you is known as the chapter about the vine. In the vineyard, and it's chapter 15, verse 7, goes like this. Jesus says these words, and I love them. They're beautiful. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. John chapter 15, verse 7. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break. We got Chaplain Joseph Baraxa with us on the program. We'll be right back in just a moment. Please stay with us.
Are you in traffic right now? Well, if you don't have to be going somewhere, please go home. And if you do have to go out in public, wear a cloth face mask. Brought to you by the Virginia Department of Health. Go to vdh.virginia.gov to learn more.
And in your hour of desperation, no, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thanks so much for tuning in. We have Chaplain Joseph Baraxa with us on the program. Chap Joe is the chaplain of Charlottesville Regional Jail. He's an amazing man of God, always full of energy. Chaplain Joseph, thanks for being on the show. I'm so glad you could join us.
Man, love being here. Thank you for having me, Jeff. It's always a pleasure, and I just love doing this kind of thing. You know that.
Hey, give me your off-the-cuff reaction to John 15:7, where Jesus says these words, if you remain in me and my word remains in you. So you got that if in there. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. What is that? Anything just like just comments or thoughts that bubble up for you on that?
Well, there's got to be the union between you and Christ and the relationship, that nothing is possible without him. That's what jumps out. It has to be with him in his realm, in that relationship. That's the only way you know his will or plan for your life. Period. That's my off the cuff.
No, I like it, because that's where I go with it, is there's a changing that happens when you read the message of Jesus, kind of his preaching and teaching and what he shares. So much is about repenting, which is changing your way of thinking, changing your life. And the way to get there is, as you mentioned, Chaplain Joe, is with this union with Christ. That's what will change you.
And you've got to be able to, you got to know the gospel. You got to be reading. You got to be in the Word. That's that. You have to be in the Word through prayer, in the Word. All of that is all together. You can't separate those.
And once you happen upon this covenant relationship with Jesus, where you enter into this relationship, you end up with this desire for more and more of Jesus and a deeper and deeper relationship. And the more that you're into it, the more you're going to change. And as Chaplain Joseph is mentioning, a really good place to start, if you're one of those people who's thinking, well, gee, I don't really know God, and he's never really spoken to me, and I haven't really had any of these encounters that you guys talk about on this program. Well, you know, one of the places for you to go is just pick up that Bible. And since we're talking about the Gospel of John, that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
John's Gospel, pick it up, read it, and ask God to just reveal himself. And Chaplain Joe, wouldn't you say that is a great place to dive in?
John is a phenomenal place to dive in. I love the book of John for a gazillion reasons, but it is, there's so much richness and depth in that, you know, the Gospels as well, but the book of John is a great place to go.
We're going to get caught up in just a few minutes on what you have going on with your ministry, because there's so much to talk about there, Chaplain Joe. But I want to stay on this Gospel of John. I'm just wondering what, if I'm, again, I'm kind of quizzing you without giving any notice here, but what are your favorites in John? Where do you like to, what stories do you like?
Oh, gosh.
And why?
That's a no-brainer. Chapters 3, 4, 5, and 9. I go through those all the time. Nicodemus in 3, Samaritan woman in 4, the man of Bethesda in 5, and the blind man born from birth at 9. Four different people encounter Jesus in four different ways. And yet, out of all the four, who does he reveal himself to as the Messiah? The Samaritan woman. The guy at the pool doesn't know who he is. It's, the contrast is remarkable. It just, I love those four chapters. And if you're going to do anything, do a comparative study of those four characters in those four chapters. Each encounter Jesus, and the response is different for each one.
Can we, if you wouldn't mind, let's just pick Nicodemus, because I'm always intrigued by that encounter with Jesus. Nicodemus, just the backstory, I'll set it up, and then Joseph, you can take it and run with it. Nicodemus, they say, I think historically was part of the Sanhedrin,
right,
which he would have been one of the upper high level management of the, you know, the Jewish culture. And so he would have been one of the Pharisees, the learned people, and he would have had a really high seat at the table. And yet, let's talk about the encounter just real quick.
It's crazy. When he comes to him at night, everyone uses that. Why does he do that? You know, but Jesus refers to him as the teacher of Israel. Aren't you the teacher of Israel? But this is where we get the phrase, you must be born again.
Yes.
He's telling a religious leader who knows all of the law, who knows all of the stuff. And he goes at him. And he goes, well, how, you know, you must be born again. He goes, how do I go back into a mother's womb? He wasn't saying that. He's basically saying, how do I change? There's no way that I can change. And he says, unless you are born or not born again, you must be born again. If you're not, not only you can you not get into the kingdom, you can't even see the kingdom. And it must come from above, not by your religious rituals, not by your knowledge. It must come from above, and you must be born again. There is no wavering here. There's no option here. So that is remarkable to a man who is supposed to be the religious leader of Israel, teaching people. And then Jesus comes right back at him in his own terms and just says, hey, you know, this is what you have to do. And Nicodemus struggled with this early on.
Let's talk about that struggle, because I think that may be important for somebody who's just turning into this program, tuning in this morning. They didn't really know what they were getting into. And all of a sudden they hear, you know, two guys, you Joseph Raksa, Jeff Gaffney, talking about being born again. And I think if you are struggling with what that means, that's not a bad thing, because in that struggle, in that wrestle, that is where I believe, and the Bible teaches in several different places, that is where the meeting place with God occurs. You know, when you talk about the story in the Old Testament of Jacob, where he actually did wrestle with God, and he came out of that wrestling match a new and different man. He changed from Jacob to Israel. And I think the application there for us, for anybody who's just, you know, kind of on the outside of faith looking in, and they're wondering, yeah, this born again thing, I don't exactly, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, if you follow the story of Nicodemus, Jesus, I don't think, was condemning him. He wasn't. He's just saying, hey, this is the reality. And he goes on and he goes, well, just as Moses lifted the snake in the desert, I must be lifted up. So he's given this whole plan. He's walking him through it. And it says, you know, in the fourth, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It goes, the sequence is fascinating. But then you don't hear of Nicodemus again until chapter 7. Same guy. And you wonder what's going on in front of this board or this Congress, the Sanhedrin you're talking about. He actually stands up and says, hey, don't we hear a man out first regarding Jesus? Because they were ready to kill him. And Nicodemus actually stood up. And now it's daylight, of course. But he says, we need to hear this man out. And he was, people looking at him, and he got like, are you a Galilean as well? I mean, are you with this guy? And he was challenged. And in 19 in John, he actually helps bury Jesus.
That's where I was going to ask you. I find that incredibly enlightening. At the end, after Jesus dies on the cross, he's taken down from, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joseph of Arimathea,
right,
and Nicodemus,
right,
and so for this character who comes to Jesus at night asking these spiritual questions, wrestling with what does it mean, and you know, where am I, for him to come all the way to the end, which, you know, back in those days, that he was risking his life to be one of those that would take down Jesus off the cross and bury him. That is quite a journey.
And it tells you that in 19, that it's, for fear of the Jews, they did it in secret. So there was this whole thing, but he did it. I mean, you could see this walk he's going through. I wish there was a post-resurrection interview with Nicodemus at that point. That would be exciting.
Right.
Because he was taking a risk. If he was the Messiah, what was he thinking? But he risked himself. They went and they did the proper burial and all of that. So there was this little transformation, or this transformation of him that we see from the guy who came at night, who's now exposed in daylight. I love that contrast at the end. So, and I think that's intentional, but he's quite a religious man, if you want to say, but still, I think Jesus got to his heart and he realized that there's something more to this than what I've been doing.
That's good stuff. Joseph, I want to keep talking about this. I definitely want to get to, when we come back, I want to start back up with what's going on with your ministry, but maybe I want to come back to the Gospel of John, talk a little bit further, maybe some of the other encounters that you talked about, maybe one more. But we have to take a quick break. It's always great catching up with you. This is Jeff Gaffney, Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to be back in just a moment. More of our interview with Chaplain Joseph Faraxa. Please stay with us.
By wearing a cloth face mask in public, you can show the world you care about their health and yours. If you don't have a mask, go to vdh.virginia.gov to learn how to make one. Brought to you by the Virginia Department of Health.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Hey, welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. With us on the program today, we have my good friend, Chaplain Joseph Faraxa. He's the chaplain of the Charlottesville Regional Jail. Chaplain Joe, I want to get to you because you have some events coming up. And for those of you that are hearing from Chaplain Joe for the first time, he's the chaplain in the jail in Charlottesville. He's ministering to everybody there, but primarily the inmates. He is helping at the most desperate time in their life. He has a very difficult job. And on top of that, he is completely self-funded. So here's a guy who was a very successful sales guy. I think that's why, Joseph, why I love talking with you, because I see, you know, some similarities. We're both sales guys, ham and eggers, and kind of hardworking dudes. And all of a sudden you step off of that. God tells you to go minister in the jail. And oh, by the way, raise your own money.
Yeah.
But I think, wait, before I hand it over to you, but I think what you can speak to here is the fact that God will provide. And I think part of your transformation or spiritual growth is that God said he would do it, and he's doing it, and it's playing out, and you get to really, it's almost like, let me see if I can say it this way. It's God's ministry and you're riding shotgun.
Oh yeah. I'm along for the ride, if that's how you want to say it, because he is absolutely a spectacular ride. And, you know, I keep thinking of the Old Testament image of my cup overfloweth, and that's it. It's not like he doesn't just fill the cup. I mean, it's constantly running, and I focus on the mission he's called me to, and that's ministering, serving the people behind the walls. Mm-hmm. He's not that you don't be prudent and you market and you go out and talk to people, but he is the abundance that's come in, the finances through all of this. And I haven't felt like I haven't done anything. I'm serious. He's provided. It's just an abundance. It's beyond abundance. It just keeps coming. It's remarkable. So I am grateful for all of that, because the mission at hand is that just that. It's a mission. It's a fight. There is a battle that goes on behind the walls every day.
And so the wonderful thing about being able to share your story over the radio, Chaplain Joe, is that you never know where the radio, what ear is gonna, it's gonna, this story is gonna end up in. And
that's right.
Somebody is touched by what you're doing and they feel like they want to contribute. Walk us through, what would they do? If somebody right now is saying, gosh, I love what he's doing, I can't do it, but let me support him financially with a few dollars, what would somebody do?
Well, there's a couple of things going on right now. I do two major fundraisers a year. One is coming up May 15th. It's at the First Baptist Church on Park Street. It's a breakfast from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. We have George Morris, who's the area FCA director at UVA. He's also the chaplain at UVA football and UVA men's basketball. Guest speaker, William Washington from the Bridge Ministry is going to speak. And then we're going to have an inmate's testimony. Former guest, Hotel Albemarle, as I call it, will give a testimony while he was there. That's one way. Does he register online? Goodnewsjail.org/ Charlottesville Breakfast, or go to Facebook and just type in Good News Seaville. You can register online there as well, or donate, or contact me. I can talk with you, email with you, and give you ideas of how you can help support financially or other ways as well.
I don't know Pastor Washington, but I know Pastor George Morris very well. I saw him speak recently at the Sunrise service. It was right. A Zoom service. Did you happen to check that out?
Did not. No, sir.
Oh, it was so good, so powerful, and over Zoom, too. Yeah. Right? I mean, it's like, but his message, his method of speaking, he is a man filled with the Holy Spirit. And, so you're bringing out the big
one. We're gonna live stream on Facebook as well. Just go to facebook.com/GoodNewsSeaville, and we're going to live stream him as well. So if you don't want to attend in person, we're doing all the COVID protocols. Everything's cool. And if you don't want to, you know, you can go on Facebook and we'll stream it live. You can watch it there as well.
Let me try to connect this back to our opening verse, the fact that God will provide.
Yeah.
And that really thematically is birthed out of Abraham's life, where God calls Abraham to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah, takes him up there. He's going to be diligent, listen to what the Lord has said. The Lord tests him. God says, stop, don't do that. And off in the distance, there's a ram caught in the thicket. And so they offer up the animal as a sacrifice. And God provided that. And that's where we hear in the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Mm-hmm. Now, let's carry that forward. Jesus says the words, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. So part of that is this transformation that occurs once you encounter Jesus. And I'm just wondering, on your journey now, just kind of one more time, in terms of God providing, God giving you the call and then providing for you, Joseph, that's the part where it's really intriguing to me, is that go do this.
Yeah.
And I will provide.
Well, it's the God show. It's not the Joe show.
Yeah.
And you got to remember that. I'm not out there. You're promoting me just for me. This is a mission. Again, he's called me to this particular thing. Get in there, pierce that darkness, pierce the shackles by the power of the Holy Spirit, and provide people hope, period. The hope of the gospel, the only hope there is. That's my mission. Fight for the souls inside, behind the walls. So zero in on that. How do I do that? Well, when I'm in there, I minister whatever way God leads me. Outside, I educate people. This is what I'm trying to do. This, and you'd be amazed how God's spirit moves in people outside the walls, outside in the town, through the airways, through me having conversations, through me speaking to groups, just telling them what I'm doing, what's going on there. Lives are changing. You know, when I was doing tours, I hope that comes back, tours of the facility, it was just people would come out of there thinking, oh, my goodness, I had no idea. Because you could feel the heaviness and you could feel things going on in there. And then God leads people to be part of that ministry, just like he led me. He leads people to give, maybe not go inside, but help give towards the ministry. And I don't ask for money, believe it or not. I don't. I just tell the stories. This is what we're trying to accomplish. Hmm. And then God moves people. Next thing you know, it's just urge on the radio, or God moved me in spirit when I was praying to come to you. Give or come to you and see what you're doing. I hear that so many times. It's remarkable. It has nothing to do with me, Jeff. I promise you that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's in the time we have left, I've enjoyed so much your talk about the Gospel of John. Let's move into John 4, which you break down so well, the woman at the well. We only have a few minutes, but can you just kind of take us through that and the thoughts that come to you as you describe it?
Well, it's just nuts. It's so amazing because the woman herself, Samaritan, she's a woman, you know, prompts her, tells her that she's got four or five husbands. The guy she's with is not her husband. You know, she's got a little bit of a background, all of that. And then she mentions that she's waiting for Messiah, and he says, I'm him. And it's that moment, one, of who she is, because comparison to her, the Nicodemus in chapter 4, it's night and day. It's top and bottom. It's religious leader, a woman. And she's exposed in broad daylight. She meets Jesus at noon. And he reveals himself as the Messiah. And it's when she specifically says she leaves her pot, her water jar, and she runs back to the village. Now, two things. That life source, the water jar, she leaves at his feet. But she runs back to the village, and her testimony is so powerful. A woman of that reputation, so powerful. The whole town comes in out to see Jesus. They have to see for themselves. What was that look on her face? Mm-hmm. A woman of a reputation like that. Something happened with her encounter with him at the well. And I remember one person inside, we were doing a Bible study, and he talked about that water pot that was represented his drugs. His life source were the drugs, the addiction. And he realized that he needed to leave that pot at the feet of Jesus, period. And I was always moved by that because I never really thought about that. Jesus offers her living water, true water, life-giving source, which, you know, we think that pot is carrying her life source, the water. He'd say, no, I'm the life source. But those are powerful images just in that moment right there. And I've always latched on to that, and I thought, man, I never get old. It never gets old. I never get tired of reading that story. So that aspect of that story, that's what I would give.
Okay. And the part that you brought up is that jumps out at me is that you can take the gospel, the story of the woman at the well, and you can ask God, how does this apply to me? Mm-hmm. Much like the inmate that you were with who saw it. There's a message in there, because the big thing that becomes an eye opener once you grab it is once you believe what the book of Hebrews says, that the word of God is alive and active.
Living water. That's just it. What's your life source? What's your water jug? What is your water pot that you think is your life source, carrying your life source? And you, anybody can name A to Z. And he's saying right there, I'm your life source. Mm. I am the true living water. I am the only life source. And that's powerful to me because we all have a water pot. We all have something we think we can't live without. We all are rooted in something and we think we absolutely have to have other than him. And this imagery, anytime I have any doubts of anything or feeling down or whatever it is, I go back to this story. One, he revealed himself to her as the Messiah, which is mind-blowing. You think it would be the religious leader Nicodemus. It's not. And then her whole story, this woman of nothing, gets this news. And what she does with it, man, is powerful. That water pot and leaving that just to run and tell people about who she met. It's always fascinating to me. So, and there's hope for everybody.
Just in closing, to sort of wrap up this show and tie it back to a couple of the other shows, we had been talking about the Gospel of Matthew in the last few previous shows. And in Matthew chapter 5, you get Jesus with his famous Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes, as it's called. And one of them says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be completely satisfied. When what we know, once you've cycled through the Bible a few times and encountered Jesus, is that he is our righteousness. So if you substitute in those who hunger and thirst for Jesus, they will be completely satisfied. Ties directly back to the message that you were speaking of the woman at the well. Chaplain Joe.
No.
We got to go.
All right. Sorry about that.
No, it's great. It's great catching up with you. Wishing you all the best. I want to pray for you, for your ministry, for your event coming up. I want to pray for all our listeners, especially my mother and her colleagues at Westminster Canterbury. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Chap Joe, I'm coming to your event on May 15th at First Baptist. And please, any of our listeners that feel a little tugging, that think that, you know, this is something they're interested in, this is going to be a great event. So thank you, Chaplain Joe. Thanks for being on, and thanks for hosting that event.
Love it, bro. Thank you.
Peace.
God, we need you to come.
The Joe Thomas in the Morning Show from the Automated Office System Studios on Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV, AM and FM, Charlottesville.
News. I'm Karen McHugh. Last week's cyber attack on a major U.S. fuel pipeline that forced its shutdown is a very big deal.
The Colonial Pipeline runs some 5,500 miles from Texas to New York, delivering 100 million gallons a day, or roughly 45% of all fuel on the East Coast, which includes gasoline, diesel, jet fuel, and home heating oil. Now, operators shut it down Friday after the ransomware attack. The FBI, DHS, and Department of Energy are all investigating.
Fox's Griff Jenkins. Three innocent bystanders, one a four-year-old girl, are recovering after having been shot during a dispute between a group of men in New York's Times Square Saturday afternoon.
The NYPD releasing footage of a person of interest saying he would be caught shortly. Commissioner Dermot Shea blaming the tragedy on bad policy and the spread of illegal firearms.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. America is listening.
Your CBS 19 Weather Authority forecast for your Mother's Day. A few early morning showers, but otherwise partly to mostly cloudy. Highs around 70 degrees. Tonight, a few showers are possible overnight. Lows in the lower 50s. And Monday, a few morning showers.